The holiday season's here, and Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. Remind your loved ones that you care each month with quality American-made socks. The socks are sent straight to their door, featuring different designs and a personal note every month that can be customized before each shipment. I love Sock Club. I tell you, it sounds like such a simple idea, but a lot of the brilliant ideas are simple. I'm a member. The socks show up. I get psyched. I can't wait to open it up. Open up that package. See my new socks. Go to sockclub.com/beautiful. Get 15% off using discount code beautiful at checkout. That's sockclub.com/beautiful. Give a little reminder of your love every month. Give Sock Club. Big plans for the new year? Tell ya. Squarespace makes it easy to turn that big plan into a unique website. Check out Squarespace. Love Squarespace. It's so easy to showcase your work, to blog, to publish content, sell products. You got to get your word about your services out there. They make it so easy. It just takes a handful of clicks. It's very easy to customize it, make the look, the feel, exactly what you want. Use their templates if you want. They got world-class designers, and you don't have to program. You don't have to install, patch, upgrade, ever. They take care of all of it, okay? Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code CG to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hello to everybody who loves good wings. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun, and I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Beautiful Anonymous. New episode. My name's Chris Gethard. I feel very lucky that I get to do this, that I get to talk to you guys, that I get to bring stories to the world one person at a time, that everybody out there who wants to remember that regular people have something to say, they listen to those people tell their own stories in their own words here on this show. That means the world to me, and it means the world that so many of you guys listen and support it. I got some big announcements before we get into the show today. Two things that I think you guys might be interested in, especially with the holidays coming up. And I try not to shill too much. I try not to plug too much. You know, we got the ads for that, but some special things for the show. One, got two new products, and I'm really so excited about them, so proud of them. There's a new t-shirt, and there's a new decal. You can get both of these things. And what's most exciting to me about these things is that both of them were designed by fans of the show. I think that's so cool. I want to thank everybody. The mods at the Facebook group ran this t-shirt contest, t-shirt designs. People submitted things. All of them blew me away. I looked at all of the submissions myself. I think everybody in the group, even a lot of the people who designed things, pointed at one and said, wow, that's a great design specifically for a t-shirt. And so many cool ones, but this one just jumped out. It's great. You go to podswag.com, you follow the links to Beautiful Anonymous, you'll find it in there. And it was designed by, I'm going to slaughter your last name, Rebecca. I apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm thanking you. Rebecca Priebe Rube. I'm definitely mispronouncing that. Pribe Rube? Priebe Rube. I don't know. I gave it 3 shots. They're probably all wrong. And it's just cool. It's just really awesome. It's just got headphones surrounding the logo of the show. Go check it out. There's a heart in there, which I think speaks to the empathy side of the show. And it's just cool. Thank you, Rebecca, for designing it. I've also got a decal. It's designed to highlight my gigantic forehead and my ill-advised choice of hairstyle, and it was designed by Jimmy Hall. And you know, if you're looking for something for Christmas, maybe tell your loved ones, go get me this t-shirt so I can support my favorite podcast. If you got people in your life, you know, listen to the show, maybe you send them these away for the holidays. It's always so hard to shop for people. And Rebecca, Jimmy, thank you for designing them. Blew me away. Really, actually means so much, more than I can express in words. So I'll stop rambling about it. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Jimmy. Everybody check those out at podswag.com. Also, New York City, Brooklyn, February, coming hard. Okay, there's a venue called the Bell House. It's one of the best venues in New York for both music and comedy. And we're trying to work something out with them. We're doing 3 live episode tapings. I think it's February 7th, 13th, and 21st, if I remember correctly. I want to blow these things out. I want to have a party. I know there's a lot of people around New York who listen to the show. I meet you guys on the subway. I meet you guys on the streets. People stop me, say they like the podcast. Every single time I'm like, wow, we're really part of a community. For a show that's one guy talking to one person at a time, we have somehow built a great community surrounding this thing. So I want everybody to get to the Bell House February 7th, 13th, 21st. You can find links to all the tickets at chrisgeth.com. And the 21st, that's actually the anniversary. That's our 100th episode is being released that same week. So I feel like that's going to be a real week to celebrate. And I hope everybody comes out. I already see on the Facebook group a lot of people saying they're making trips to New York just to come attend some of these shows. Means the world to me. If you're looking to hang out in New York City, here's a good excuse. Come by the Bell House, hang out. We'll do some phone calls. I'm going to call in some comedian friends. I'm going to make these shows parties. Trust me on that. Anyway, this intro has been longer than usual. Let's get into it. Last week's episode, our hipster chaplain who helps guide people into death. Surprisingly chill, funny, relaxed episode for a religion and death-themed one. Here's one thing that blew me away. There was a group in the Facebook thread. Someone said, Chris, I also am a member of the clergy, and you'd be surprised, I think, how many people who work in religion like your show. And there's a whole explosion of comments from people who work to some degree or other as pastors or ministers, and it just blew me away. Thanks for letting me know that this is a running trend. Religion is one of the things that this podcast has made me reconsider in my life, and I really do thank you all for that. This week's episode, really, really interesting call, if you ask me. This is one that you will hear right in the beginning. I was kind of like, what effect does this really have? And then the more it was explained to me and the more I thought about it, the more I was like, wow, this person has a very specific condition that just leads to all these sort of philosophical questions about how we live our lives and how we experience things and how we remember things and how we sort of chronicle our own lives and think of ourselves and immerse ourselves in our own stories. It's I found personally that as I sort of slowed down and thought about this person's life more and more, found it very fascinating, both as far as what the caller is living with and living through, and also as far as what it means for all of us and how we, on a very basic level, experience the world around us. So this one got me thinking. Maybe it'll get you thinking as well. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Enjoy the call.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, is this Chris motherfucking Gethard?
Yeah, I've never felt better about myself.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Chris motherfucking Gethard. Yeah. I feel cool.
Motherfucking Gethard.
Yeah.
Sorry, Aunt Karen, by the way.
Coming out of the gate with the curses. Coming out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry in advance to Aunt Karen and Sally.
Thank you so much. That's awful nice. Aunt Karen played the show once on outdoor speakers and then had to turn it off in a hurry because her neighbors were overhearing some truly disturbing things.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
What episode was that? Do you remember?
I don't know. They all blend together in my mind into a pastiche of triumphs and horrors.
That makes sense. You've had a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of horrors.
I feel like I've spent, didn't know what I was getting into over the past couple of years, but turns out I've spent about 2 years building an audio collage of open wounds, of humanity's open wounds.
That's a good way to put that. I like it.
Yeah. It's okay. Now, how are you?
I'm not going to lie. I'm freaking out a little bit.
How come?
Because I'm talking to Chris motherfucking Gethard.
You sound more confident than almost anyone else who's cool calls.
Really?
Yeah, you're really
cool.
Yeah. The facade you're putting up is working. The confidence. I feel like confidence is
that's
shining
good.
I have.
Good. I've got years of practice of trying to, move past my issues and my feelings to, seem like a normal human being.
Been there.
How was getting there? Exactly. I'm calming down. The butterflies are starting to settle a little bit.
Good. That's good.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Tell you, it was really good. I had, the weekend. Okay. So the weekend before I got a tonsil infection, it wasn't good. I was just physically exhausted from my TV show. And then, had the whole week of Thanksgiving off and it was really great to just like go recover. I took a train down the East Coast from New York to Savannah, Georgia. I got myself a sleeper car. It was very, it was like living the romantic life, you know? Just me, and I wrote. I'm working on a new book, and I wrote overnight in a sleeper car, stayed for 2 days in Savannah where I'd never been, talked to no one, just wrote for hours every day. And then I got back on the train, went to Orlando, and I crashed with my parents for a week and just recovered physically and mentally.
Yeah, I'm sure you needed to do a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about yours? How was the holiday?
It was good. My boyfriend and I went out to Boston area where his family's from. We were both a little under the weather, him more so. He had, in addition to the cold that I think we caught on the airplane, he was getting really bad migraines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was not fun. But we got to spend a whole week with his family, and that was really awesome.
Yeah, so we have very similar stories.
We do.
All right.
Yeah. So before I continue talking to you, as the butterflies continue to settle, I wanted to say that you are one of my favorite people because, well, many reasons, but one of them is how hard you fight the stigma of mental health. And that's a really big thing for me and a big part of my life. So I think it's great when people that, you know, have fame use that to sort of tear down the stigma that we're all fighting against.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to do my part. And thank you for saying I have fame. That's awfully nice of you, too, because I'm barely there. I'm barely there. No, yeah, I've been going nuts about it.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there slowly but surely, slowly but surely. But yeah, it you know what's been driving me nuts lately is how the when there's shootings, there's clearly press releases going out saying this is because people were on antidepressants, and it's driving me nuts. It's making me get
back. That made me so mad.
It happens all the time, and it's clearly funded by people. And you know, I got in a fight once on this podcast with someone who was into the NRA. I'm not trying to set off the controversy again, but I will say, no matter where you land on the SU, I just can't sit on my opinion. The fact that the NRA would have you believe that less mental health medications and more guns leads to less shooting is just faulty math, and it's been driving me crazy. So I'm trying to do my part.
It's ridiculous.
Trying to go into a tech mode, figure out how to get that message out there into the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's kind of my long-term goal, I think, is to, you know, really tear down that stigma and make people realize that mental health isn't a big scary thing and that, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed to go to therapy. You shouldn't be, you know, afraid of going on medication. You know, I know that you're very vocal about that, and I love that because I'm on medication. I think we're both on Lamictal.
Yeah. AKA Lamotrigine. Yeah. Generic name Lamotrigine.
Yeah, Lamotrigine.
Don't you freak.
Generic what?
Yeah, nobody sleep on Lamotrigine. Evens you out, and then the Wellbutrin bumps you up.
Oh my God, that's right. You're on Wellbutrin too. I just went back on Wellbutrin recently.
Love it.
Got a lot in common, guess.
Look at that. Well, we're 7 minutes in. 7 minutes in, and we're still calming the butterflies. When are you going to drop some bombs on me? I can sense a bomb coming.
All right. I do have a bomb in my pocket.
Okay. I'm listening.
All right. So the way I'm going to parlay into the bomb is I want to do a little sort of exercise with you. That's okay.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think anybody's ever done that before.
Sweet. I like being new and different. Okay, so close your eyes and picture a sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors really vivid?
I'd say they're reasonably vivid.
Reasonably vivid. Can you, if I told you to see birds flying, could you do that?
Yeah, I've managed to have a still picture of that in my head. Do they need to be active birds in motion?
No, you can, as long as you can sort of add to the picture.
Yeah.
The main thing.
Yeah, I got some birds flying across then, the silhouette of the setting sun, and there's some ocean waves in what I'm picturing.
Awesome. Can you put a loved one into that picture? Like somebody that is there at the beach enjoying the sunset?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Is it weird that that's crazy to me?
Well, it's funny. What's crazy to you?
Yeah, I guess I should finish that. So I can't do any of that. I have this really rare condition called aphantasia.
Aphantasia?
And it basically, yeah, it's the term was just coined in 2015. They think that there have been like documentations of it for, I think, a couple decades now, but it's never really been looked into. But it's basically the inability to create mental images.
You can't create a mental image.
When I close my eyes, nothing.
And does this apply only to visuals or is it all senses? Can you not like remember smells? Like, is there no sense memory?
There's no smell memory, but I definitely have a very strong, like audio memory. Like I can, if I'm thinking of a song, I can hear the words as that person sang it. But I can't, you know, if you told me to imagine I'm smelling sweet peas, cause I love sweet pea flowers, I wouldn't be able to do that.
What?
And yeah, so.
Okay.
I'm kind of a weird person.
No, it's interesting. Well, here's a question. I have so many questions. Because here's my... Okay, so I have a question that... But I'm just scared. Okay. I'm just scared this is going to sound condescending.
Lay it on me. Don't hold back. No holds barred.
Yeah, well, now... Because I just want to make sure this isn't condescending. I'm not trying to condescend, but... How does it affect your life? Like, does it have any... Because I'm trying to figure out, like, what the impact is on your life. What's the impact on your life?
It's probably quite a lot.
Really?
I have a really bad memory. Cause you know, when you can't close your eyes and picture a memory, I'm really just kind of going off of words to remember things. Like the best way that I've just been able to describe it is it's like you're running Windows and I'm running MS-DOS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I remember DOS.
The data. Yeah, right?
C:\, \, \.
Oh, yeah. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Oregon Trail.
Yeah, that's the stuff. But yeah, so my memory sucks. I get really distracted and like, if I'm trying to read a book, I think the biggest one that really sucks is that if I'm trying to read a book, I just lose interest really fast because, you know, it's describing something and you know, most people are able to picture that. So,
yeah.
You know, if there's a house and the shutters are blue and, you know, the shades are white or something like that, I can't do that. So I'm just reading this and I'm just like, okay, you know, and I read Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire when I was a teenager and I remember getting so frustrated because she went on for like 5 pages about the plantation that they had arrived at. And it was driving me insane because I was like, okay, I get it. They're on a plantation. And then it wasn't until recently that I looked back and I'm like, oh, that's because everyone else is actually painting a picture in their mind as she's describing it.
Yeah. So for you, it's just all exposition.
I can't believe I've gone on my life without really knowing that. But,
so yeah. Descriptors for you are not descriptive. So it just makes everything long.
Yeah.
So
short descriptions.
Let me ask you this. So when you know, you said you can, it's everything's words, everything's comes via verbal and words. So when you think back to like your childhood, like I can think of my parents taking me to Lake George, New York, and they have you know, like speedboats there that pull parasails, like parachutes in the sky. And to me, that's always like that was as a kid. That seemed like the most crazy, magical thing to like come off the highway and drive down this road and see these parachutes flying. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's like, it makes me feel like that's vacation. That's my family. So when you think of memories like that, where those are just words, where you can't go back to a place where you see that, does it remove the emotion from that memory as well? Are you able to think about it verbally and go, I remember that being like a nice warm thing? Or does it make it like a little bit more disconnected and robotic almost?
Well, that's a good question. I have not been asked that.
Do your memories just get put in a file cabinet, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it feels like. And I don't have a Dewey Decimal System in place, so I forget things a lot. But no, I think I'm probably a lot less emotionally involved in these memories than other people are, but I definitely think I can like get a feeling if I'm thinking back on it and I'm remembering. I mean, and the thing is, I don't have a lot of memories from my childhood to really reflect on,
right?
But they, you know, the ones that I can remember, that, you know, I really just, I'm remembering that they happened. You know, I definitely feel a sense of warmth with certain ones when it's, you know, a really good memory can definitely make me feel good.
Right. So when you're like sitting around telling stories with people from your past, this is becoming progressively more fascinating the more I think about it. It feels like a Michelle Gondry movie, like, you know, like one of these like psychological, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Like I think about my college years and my buddy, my sophomore year, I lived in a house where my friend, it's a long story. My friend drove his car. He was trying to drive from one, he drove his car over a ledge in between our driveway and a parking lot, thinking he could make it. Instead, he placed his car on the ledge like it was a seesaw. And we had this hilarious night where we were all like sitting around drinking and he came and begged us and we had to come lift his car. And I always laugh when I think of it. And part of that is because in my mind, I remember all of us like pushing the bumper and so mad at him and him like, just shut up and do it. And I can see, I can feel it. Like when you have memories like that, you can't go back to that place. You don't live there again.
I don't live there. And it's funny because when you were just explaining that whole thing, I'm sure most people listening were picturing that in their mind. And I kind of got not lost halfway through, but
bored.
Like I kind of pieces fall away because I'm not building that visual up.
How does this affect your relationship with people? Like, do you become like a sentimental person attached? Like when, you know, for me, like when I was a kid and my cousins from California would show up, my older cousins, and they were so cool. I'd be like waiting at the door. But part of that is because I'm like, oh, my one cousin Tiger, he wears a leather jacket. That's cool. Mike and Dan are so funny. I remember sitting around our kitchen table laughing. Does it mean that you're a little more detached from people in any way? Like, are you not able to be sentimental about past shared experiences as much?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think it really affects my relationship with that person per se, but because I still, those feelings I think remain even though I can't remember everything. But you know, I'll talk to a friend and they'll tell me, oh, remember that one time. And they'll, you know, tell me this whole thing. I'm like, oh shit, I don't really remember that. And it'll have been like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like just a lot of things like that where, you know, even my boyfriend, we've been together for about 2 years and he'll tell me about like dates we went on. And I'm like, God, I wish I could remember that.
You know,
like, that sounds really nice. I wish I could close my eyes and see that again.
Yeah, that's sad. That's a bummer. So these
it is. The thing is, I want to, huh?
No, you go for it. You want to what?
I was going to say, I want to say for the other people with aphantasia, which I think the term they go by is aphant.
Aphant.
I don't know. Aphant, yeah. I kind of like, I've also heard aphantasiac, which I kind of like because it sounds like maniac.
Yeah. You want to send a message out to them?
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much a message, but just to kind of cover them, you saying that it's sad, which I agree. I think it's a bummer. A lot of people that have aphantasia, they don't like people saying that it's a negative thing, which I understand because we all have different experiences with things. You know, it's like something can affect a person in a way that doesn't affect the other person, and that doesn't take away from that other person's experience. So I don't know why people get so uppity about stuff like that, but for a lot of people with aphantasia, they don't feel like it's a bad thing. They think that it's mm-hmm. just different. They've just learned to do things differently. But I am really bummed by it because, you know, I would love to be a big book nerd and get lost in stories and books and just detach from the world. But right. I don't get to do that.
I wonder though, like, one of the big quests of my life is to like live in the moment a little bit more, you know, live in the moment. That's mm-hmm. a phrase that, you know, I think a lot of like, you know, you're I'm not trying to co-opt religious terms, but like a lot of people who are on like a quest for Zen in some form or another, live in the moment, live in the now. You don't really have an option, yeah. huh? You have to live in the now. Like I would imagine when you're experiencing something yeah. striking and beautiful, you must have to tell yourself, stop and appreciate this and soak this in because I don't get this later.
Definitely. 100%.
There must be something beautiful yeah, about like, having to remind yourself of that. Living in the moment, good thing to aspire to. I'm not going to allow you to live in this moment, though, because we got to take a break for ads. How mean is that? Shattering the tranquility of a discussion about living in the moment by separating it with commercials. Look at that. Crafty. Very crafty. But in all seriousness, these are our sponsors. They support the show. It's the reason I can bring you the show for free is because these people step up to the plate. So please listen to the ads. If you are interested, use the promo codes. It helps the show. We'll be right back with more phone call. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small how-do-they-do-that size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping. It should be comfortable. My sleep is comfortable because I sleep on a Casper. My wife, who has high standards in life, she sleeps on this mattress, the Casper. She says she never wants to sleep on another type of mattress. We wake up in the morning refreshed because we've slept in the lovely, comforting cradle of Casper. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/beautiful. Use beautiful at checkout. That's casper.com/beautiful. Offer code beautiful for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Today's show is brought to you by Zelle. Zelle is a new way to send money to your friends and family from your banking app. Cash is easy to lose. Checks take a while to clear, but with Zelle, once you're enrolled, the money moves right between bank accounts, typically arrives in minutes. Pay your share of the cost of dad's gift. Request half the cost of the Christmas tree you bought with your roommate or pay the personal trainer you hired after Thanksgiving with ease. All thanks to Zelle. So easy to use, works with almost anyone with a bank account in the U.S. And don't worry, Zelle's safe. It's backed by major banks, which means you can send money confidently. Just go to zellepay.com to learn more. ZELLEPAY.com. Zelle. This is how money moves. Thanks again to all of our advertisers for bringing this show to the world. Now, let's get back to the phone call. There must be something beautiful about having to remind yourself of that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is that I'm bummed about it and it's sad at times, but there is that good sort of aspect of it where, you know, I don't get lost in the bad thoughts. You know, a lot of people avoid thinking about things that have happened to them in the past and, you know, would give anything to erase those memories from their head. And in that sense, I'm very lucky, you know, because I've seen some things that I would never want to have to revisit. Earlier this year, my brother passed away.
Oh, and, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you. It was very hard. We were very close. He was only 38. He was my big brother. But my mom and I were with him when it happened, and it was a couple months battle with his liver. And in his, you know, final days, he was in and out of the hospital the whole time, and we were in the hospital with him, me and my mom, and it got pretty gruesome towards the end. And all I think about is that, you know, I'm so thankful that I don't have that flash into my head. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people, I feel like I've heard that happening with a lot of people where they have these flashes of bad memories, and I don't know what I would do if I had to picture that.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, not to be, I hope this doesn't come off as cruel in any way, but that also means that you can't recall the happy times either. You get to avoid the bad ones, but then the other side of that coin is that you can't float into the warm ones either, which I feel horrible even saying that.
No, it's completely true, and it's a big bummer. It really sucks.
Yeah.
And that, like you said, it forces me to live in the moment. You know, I'm catching myself always, you know, hey, babe, look at the sunset. Isn't that gorgeous? Because I see those things and I really appreciate them, because that's pictures and in person. That's all I get.
Yeah.
I don't get that escape.
Like one of my great, I'll tell you, here's a dumb story. But it's like it's like a small thing, but it's one of my great regrets. There was one time I went to a wedding in New Hampshire. I was dating a girl at the time. She was there too. And we were giving our friend a ride home. And she found out there was like this lake, almost like a swimming hole. And she really wanted to go. And I was in a big rush. And my friend had a thing he had to do back in New York. And I was like, we're going to make Zach late. Can't make Zach late. We promised him a ride. And we went to the lake. And she's like, I'll just jump in. And she like got out and ran and jumped in and swam around for 5 minutes. And I was like, come on, we got to go. And when we broke up, I remember I can see it in my head, her swimming in this lake and me leaning on my car, grumpy. And I'm like, that's everything bad about me. And one of my big regrets is that I didn't jump in that lake. And I can see it in my head and I can feel that missed opportunity. And it's like, it is a thing though, that the reason I bring it up is like, you don't get to do that, right? Like if you're there at that lake and you don't jump in it right then, you better experience it. You better soak it up. But then the other thing is I also learn from that. I have this picture in my head of my girlfriend swimming in this lake, me stressed out, her shaking her head at me, and I can see it and I can learn from it. And I can go, I don't want to feel that way again. Stop, slow down. Don't be in a rush. It's two sides of the coin, huh?
Right.
You would jump in the lake. You got to jump in the lake.
I would totally jump in the lake. 100%.
What about dreams? Are you able to dream? Can you dream about things from your past? Are you able to live in those environments in a dream?
Actually, you know, people always ask, I've talked to about a couple people about this, and they always ask if I dream, but they've never specifically asked about dreaming about memories. I don't think that I've ever actually done that. I think all of my dreams have just kind of been random, out of nowhere. I do see things, like I do visualize dreams. I see things visually, but I don't think I've ever actually dreamt about a memory or something that I experienced.
Okay, here's the big question. I'm going to ask the big one.
Uh-huh.
You might know what's coming.
Lay it on me.
Well, my question is this something that's neurological or something that's related to brain chemistry that you're born with? Or, you know, knowing nothing about this, I would imagine there might be a school of thought that is this something that develops if you experience trauma when you're young? Is it like a defense mechanism of the brain? Like this could be almost like akin to a PTSD thing of if your brain has memories it wants to suppress, maybe it just, you know, rejects the ability to have memories at all. Or is it something that you're born with? It's something genetic, maybe. I don't know.
That's really the big question. Because I think I've had it forever. I don't really know. I look back and I think I was an imaginative kid, but maybe I wasn't, you know, maybe I was imaginative in a different way. I remember when I was really little and somebody, I couldn't sleep and they said, oh, count sheep. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. And I just closed my eyes and I start counting. And I'm like, I'm just counting numbers. This is stupid.
Yeah.
And then I come to realize everyone's actually closing their eyes and counting sheep, like seeing sheep and counting them.
This is fascinating. This is a fascinating one. This podcast, here's what's fascinating about this to me is like this podcast, you know, I've talked to people who, excuse me, I just burped. I think everybody just probably caught that.
Oh,
I'm usually able to get away from the microphone before that happens. Some people are going to go back, turn up the volume and hear a little burp. Went down. But this podcast, I generally only talk to people who are like super chit-chatty and maybe have, you know, some minor stresses in their life they're trying to wrap their head around, or people who are suffering from like real traumas, people escaping cults or dealing with illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very rare that I've met someone and talked to someone on the show who has something like extremely specific that does have an impact on your life that, you know, is, I would imagine, something that's stressful. You're cut off from some abilities that the standard, you know, standard human brain might have. But it's not, it doesn't stop you from living your life. It doesn't stop you from going about your day. It's a, such a specific thing with such a specific impact. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You must love, you're one of the only people on earth who always, every time, says the movie's better than the book, huh?
Well, see, and that's the thing. I wouldn't know because I can't read the book because the books, I get bored because I'm not picturing stuff.
Lord of the Rings would be the most annoying thing. If someone wanted to, if someone forcing you to read the entirety of the Lord of the Rings trilogy would be like your version of being sent. I'm not trying to make light of it. That would be like Guantanamo Bay for you. And I know I'm making light. I'm making a simile to something that's truly horrible that I can't believe Obama didn't shut down. It was one of the main things he said. It's a horrible thing that it's open. It's reflective of the fact that America hides some evil things. Not trying to make light of it, but that being said, torture. Just reading endless paragraphs about rolling green fields my God. That would be your nightmare.
Yeah.
Those movies are rad, though,
I would probably throw the book across the room. Yeah, the movies are rad. I always get mad when people say that because I'm like, well, I want to see the movie because I am not, you know, I don't have that tie to the book. I'm always going to like the movie more than the book because it gives me visuals. So even if I did read the book, I'm not going to like it more than the movie because it's just words to me. So when I see a movie, I get to see what, you know, what they're supposed to look like. Like one thing that I realized the other day was when people would read something in a book and then they see it in a movie, they're like, oh, wow, that's not at all how I pictured it.
Yeah.
And that always kind of confused me. And I didn't realize that confused me until I started really thinking about it. I was like, oh, because when they're reading, they're picturing it. And it's just, it all sort of made sense once I discovered that this was actually a thing and that it was different.
So if you're at a party with your boyfriend and you're driving home, he can't go like, that person, that girl with the brown hair and the red dress, what was her name again? That's impossible for you, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, if the dress stood out enough, if it was like red with cute little polka dots or, you know, if there was something specific about it, and if I talked to the girl enough to actually remember her name.
Yeah.
I'm also pretty bad with names and faces, obviously. That it would be a struggle for sure. Like if things stand out well enough, my brain latches onto them. But
is it more like you wouldn't be able to close your eyes and go, who's wearing that red dress and cycle through? You'd have to remember, there was a girl and I thought her dress was really cute and her name was Sophia. It would have to be that type of thing.
Exactly.
Whoa. It's like you don't have a sense. Now, what does the research say? What do doctors say about this? How do you figure out you have this? How do people who are born with a thing this specific realize that there's something incongruous to other people's experience? How do you come to understand what this is and get it diagnosed?
Well, so that's the thing is they don't really know. A lot of people think that, I'm all over the place right now. First I'll tell you how I figured it out. That I found out this was different. So I was sitting on the patio with my friend, my old roommate, and I don't remember why we were going into this, but we were trying to picture our bedrooms from when we were kids. And she's like, okay, well, you know, close your eyes and you know, what color were the walls? And I was like, they were pink. I remember we had pink wallpaper, and she's like, okay, where was your desk? And I went, I don't fucking know. Like, wow. Starts asking me all these specific questions. And I'm like, you mean you can close your eyes and you see where your bed was? And she's like, yeah, it's like, you know, I'm seeing it as if I am sort of in a dream. Like the way that I see things in dreams is similar how I see it in my head. And it blew my mind. Like, I did not know that it was different for me.
Wow. I can tell you about the bedroom that I slept in when I was in the house I moved out of when I was 4. You'd walk in, there were two bunk beds on the wall facing you. To the right of the beds, there was a window. There was a tree out there. There were a lot of birds in it that always used to wake me up. Next to the window was a TV on a small TV stand. There was an Atari on the floor in front of that. The closet was next to that to the right. There was another... and then in between the window and the bed, I had like a blue stuffed panther, but it was like a turquoise blue. Sorry to rub that in your face, but just to illustrate, just to illustrate the differences. Do they think there's a spectrum to this? Do they think that there's like a...
Yes.
They do. So is someone like a...
Yes.
Do they theorize that like someone like a Leonardo da Vinci maybe had the opposite of whatever you're dealing with? Like, is that, or like great classical painters, that was whatever this dial is turned in a different direction for them?
Those dials go to 11.
Yeah.
Mine go to -1. That is on that side of the spectrum. I know there's a thing called, I think it's called synesthesia.
Oh, yes.
And a friend of mine actually just found out has this, because I was asking friends like, hey, you know, asking kind of like what I did with you, you know, sunset and picture somebody and stuff like that. And she can, you know, sense so many things that just blows my mind, like colors and tastes and sounds all, you know, it's crazy to me. But just on the aphantasia side of it, they do think that there is a spectrum, or not think, but they know there's a spectrum based on the studies they've been doing the past 2 years, that, you know, some people can sort of visualize things. Some people can, you know, maybe they can see a face, but they can't see certain features on the face, or, you know, they can picture things that they've seen in the past, but they can't like create a sunset in their head or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And how extreme is yours?
And mine's super extreme. It's 100% black in there. I have no ability to, I could look at, when I actually first found this out, I tried looking at a can of soda. I had a can of Dr. Pepper sitting right in front of me. And then closed my eyes and tried to picture it, and I couldn't. I was like, that's weird. That's probably not normal.
Wow. Synesthesia is the one where people can see numbers as colors sometimes, right? Isn't that that one?
Yeah, I think that's part of synesthesia. I think there's like different kinds. I don't want to say too much about it because I really don't know anything about
it. Is there a war between the synesthesiasts and the aphantasiacs? Is there a brewing war? Jets and Sharks style, where you guys snap your fingers, sing songs, and try to kill each other on the streets.
There might be. I should probably start Googling that and see if I can find a group of aphantasiac sharks.
Yeah.
Aphantas sharks?
Uh-huh. Maybe. I like that. Versus the synesthesia jets.
Yeah.
You should try to date someone with synesthesia. It's also a very hard word to say. You should try to date someone with synesthesia and... I don't know what would happen. Who cares? I don't know. It's a bad joke.
No, I see where you're going with it. That would probably suck a lot.
There's something there. But look, it's 6:30. I've had a long day. I didn't get much sleep last night. I can't finish. I found the bump in the set, but I couldn't find the spike in that volleyball game, you know? Anyway, joke is a metaphor to a joke. Wow.
I started to get it at the end there.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm rambling. It's okay. Wow. Can't picture things.
Oh, and I was going to say, so there are people that are born with it, which I don't know if I am or not. Like you said, it seems like something that could be tied to trauma. It might be. I've always kind of been told that, you know, my lack of memory and everything could be related to a trauma that I'm just blocking out. I don't really know. But I know it's not only something that you're born with, because the reason that they started studying it 2 years ago is because this guy went in for a surgery, and when he came out, he had aphantasia. He could no longer produce mental images. And so that was when they started doing a study. They started discovering that other people had that, because, you know, the story got out and people were like, hey, that's me, and I've always been that way. So they started doing studies on, you know, people that if they've always been that way, or like the different levels that they can picture things. And they don't have a whole lot of information on the studies that they're doing right now. One thing that I just started reading recently is that it's not directly with aphantasia, but I guess there's a recent discovery that electrically stimulating the brain can alter the strength of our mental imagery. So they think that that could end up potentially helping people with aphantasia, which I know it sounds kind of crazy. It's like electric shock therapy kind of a thing.
Yeah, they're going to zap your brain.
But I would be totally down for it if it meant the opportunity to be able to do that, I think.
Wow, and here's what's fascinating. Here's what's fascinating. If they figure this out, one of the things they're going to learn is like, you know, if this is like akin to, if this is, because, you know, what you were basically proposing there is like, you can, there's a physical location in the brain that if you could get these electrical pulses or whatever, I don't know the science, but basically if they can wake up a muscle almost, it's almost akin to that, right? So the real fascinating question then becomes is if they do that and they figure out a way to get this thing up and running, does this mean that your memories moving forward will be able to be recalled, or are the other memories that you currently don't have going to come flooding back? You know,
I think it's the latter, because the data's in there. You know, it's like with MS-DOS, it's like, if I had a better Dewey Decimal System, I'd probably have a better memory, but I don't. And so the data's all in there. And I think that if that therapy were to work, I do think that those memories would probably come flooding back, which could be terrible, could drive me totally insane.
Yeah, that's actually so much crazier than you think. You know, talking to you right now and thinking about it deep, there's a potential you might have a procedure someday where so much sense memory floods your brain. I'm going to be a nerd. There's an issue of the Silver Surfer from the 90s. He goes to Galactus. Everybody listening clearly knows that Silver Surfer was a herald of Galactus. Galactus is a large creature who eats worlds. His food is planets. He's gigantic. He eats planets. The Silver Surfer scouts out the planets for him to eat. Silver Surfer goes to Galactus, and he's like, hey, I have to fight this big fight, but I need all my senses back, and I think you dulled my senses. And he basically said, yeah, you set me up to kill whole worlds, so I removed guilt. I removed guilt from you because I killed planets, and you helped me do it. And if you were able to feel guilt, you'd constantly know that you were snuffing out billions of lives. And he said, I need all my faculties. And he said, I do not want to do this. I do not want to turn on your guilt. You don't know what's going to happen. And he did it. Silver Surfer collapses because all of a sudden he feels the weight of knowing that he killed billions of people, billions of beings. You're going to live your own version of this Silver Surfer scenario.
Shit. Well, who's my Galactus? Who's the one that I'm like?
Who knows? And I believe it was Silver Surfer 48, if I remember right. I actually remember the number. I think it was Silver Surfer 48. The cover was him sitting in Galactus' hand in a pool of blood. Harry, can we verify that? But what if they find out that this is a thing that the brain responds to trauma, and they give you this thing, and all of a sudden some memory comes back into your brain that you've been trying to hide your whole life? I want to go ahead and pause right there, let you know we did look it up. I was correct. It's issue 48. I nailed it. I'm a good comic book fan. It's because the cover is very cool and I could see it in my mind, which is heartbreaking to think about in the context of this call. Anyway, I've disrupted the momentum. Sounds like a good reason to do some ads. Let's go ahead. Use these promo codes if you like them. Really helps the show. We'll be right back. Support for today's show comes from Squarespace. Ready to start your new business? Why wait until the new year to set your plans in action? I know you got the resolution. Get into it now. Go for it. The future's coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. They got beautiful templates created by world-class designers. They make it so easy to turn your idea into a very unique website. You can showcase your work. You can blog or publish content, sell things, products, services. It takes a few clicks. So easy to customize. The look, the feel, the things you're up there selling. And it's all optimized for mobile right out of the box. You don't have to do the same work twice. Use Squarespace's analytics to help you grow in real time. You don't have to install or patch or upgrade anything ever, though. If you do run into something, you got a question? No question. Come on. There's no such thing as a dumb question. And Squarespace has award-winning 24/7 customer support there to help. Dream is just a great idea that doesn't have a website yet. Make it a reality with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use the offer code CG to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code CG. Thanks again to all of our sponsors. Now let's finish off the phone call. What if they find out that this is a thing that the brain responds to trauma and they give you this thing and all of a sudden some memory comes back into your brain that you've been trying to hide your whole life?
Well, the way I see that is I'm pretty tough. I've had a kind of crazy life, so I've toughened up a lot and I feel like I can handle a lot. Like growing up, a lot was kept from me.
Like
probably,
what?
You know, to protect me. I understand that.
What could this be? You don't have to go into it if you don't want to, but I'm very curious.
No,
feel
okay.
Free to punt on it. No worries.
Yeah, no. There's one that I won't just because of family member thing, but
sure.
Oh my God. I lost my train of thought. See, this happens. This is the worst part about it. I lose my train of thought all the freaking time.
You realize you...
Will you remind me what you asked me?
I'm just going to point out, and I'm not trying to be an armchair doctor. You lost your train of thought the second we started talking about your past with your family. And that seems like it can't be a total coincidence.
All right, Freud.
I'm not trying to be Freud.
Yeah, good point.
Last thing I'm trying to be is Freud. I'm a comedian. Lord knows... I have fought back against being in therapy, but just conversationally, that's the first time you hit a speed bump like that. And it was when you were about to start telling me about your past with your family.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, and I'm not going to say that surprises me. My family is pretty messed up, dude. So get rid of the suspense. I do remember now what we were talking about. I remembered halfway through me saying that I couldn't remember. So. There's that at least. But no, like the main thing was that my mom didn't tell me that my dad, the guy who raised me, was not my birth father. I didn't find that out till I was like 25 when I asked her. And she kept it from me because she was trying to protect me and, you know, and she was doing what she had to do for herself mentally and emotionally and all that. But, you know, I always wish that I had known, maybe not when I was a little kid. I feel like that would have probably messed me up a lot more. I was already a pretty messed up kid, but I feel like it would have probably been a lot worse if she had told me that. Like, I ran away from home when I was 13 and I was gone for a week. One of the biggest regrets of my life because of how much that hurt my family. But
no, wait.
Yeah. So
let,
I mean,
let's
like
slow
the
down.
Whole birth. What?
Am I allowed to ask follow up questions?
Definitely. Slow me down. Interrupt me. All that good stuff.
Yeah,
I ramble a lot.
I don't want to push too hard. And I don't want to reveal some family stuff. But I mean that is vague enough to say, like, you said the guy you thought your dad was your dad wasn't your dad, and your mom was protecting you from your real dad. We don't have to go into it, but that is something you dangle out there. Is that something you'd like to move on from? We 100% can, but it.
No. That just was a happenstance. Like, my birth father is a great guy. He was a guy, my mom and dad were on a break and she went to a party and hooked up with a guy she knew in high school.
And then a couple weeks later, got back together with my dad. And when they found out she was pregnant, so they were like, oh, it's yours. And he believed her. But my birth father was a great guy. She wanted to kind of keep the family together and all that stuff and not own up to it. The thing, and I'll just tell you that it was related to a suicidal family member. That was the only thing that I was saying I wasn't going
to
touch on.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There's no need to,
No need.
So it was more just that.
I want her to hear this because she, more just a what?
So it was more just that your mom found herself in a situation and wanted to, protect a family unit. Versus the idea that your birth dad was some monster she needed to keep you away from.
Right. No, he wasn't at all. I mean, he was a security guard. He was actually the bodyguard for Dolly Parton, which is kind of cool. Yeah, name drop that.
What are you talking about? How did Dolly Parton get involved? Jolene.
I don't know. It was some cool fact I learned about my birth father, and I thought it was cool. So.
Jolene is kind of a story that.
Dolly Parton song?
Yeah, well, the song Jolene kind of describes a story about people taking each other's "Don't Take My Man," and your birth itself was Dolly Parton's bodyguard taking someone's woman. He didn't listen.
He just dropped a bomb on me, guess.
He never listened to her. He didn't watch any of those shows. He was just standing outside waiting because the antagonist. He was the antagonist in one of her songs.
He was the Jolene.
He was the Jolene. Sorry to laugh.
He was the Jolene.
Sorry to laugh at your
laugh
your
at
family's
me.
Past.
Nothing. I don't care. I won't be bummed about that at all. I've got a fucked up past and. The way that I cope with it is laughter and making light of things. So I definitely don't take anything personally. You can't push too hard. You can't ask me anything that I don't want to answer.
Then I will ask about the running away. What was that about?
I don't know. I was an angsty teenager, struggling with depression and didn't really know what that meant. So I didn't know how to handle it. I don't know. I didn't like my family life at the time, which is stupid. I look back now and I'm like, you know, compared to a lot of people, my life was not bad. I had my mom and dad got divorced when I was little and she remarried. So I had a stepdad for a while and, you know, it wasn't a bad life at all. But I just, for some reason decided I want to get away. And my friend mentioned that she was running away and I was like, hey, I'll come with you. Let's do this.
Where'd you go for a week at the age of 13?
We hopped on a bus and we went I lived in the south part of the county and we took a bus up to like the north part of the county.
And you stayed there for a week?
Like almost an hour away from where I lived.
Where did you sleep?
We varied places. I had a friend that lived up there. So we slept at her place like one or two of the nights. We slept in some like church bathrooms, which is super glamorous. And then the other really fun one was we slept in a hotel room one of the nights, which was the night we got busted because we met this guy, this older dude, and we were like, hey, we have cash, but we can't rent a hotel room without a credit card. Can you help us out?
Jeez.
And so he got us I know. I was so dumb, guess. Like, I made the stupidest decisions.
Did this guy walk away? Did he help you out and then leave? Or did he help? Did he call the cops? Or were the hotel people like, what is happening here?
No. Basically, we got the room and he was like, hey, I work at Wild Bill's in a bar. You want to go to Wild Bill's?
Oh, I never want to hear that.
And we were like, because we were stupid.
Anyone who says the sentence, want to go to Wild Bill's to a 13-year-old girl, has bad intentions. That's not a thing that someone, there's nobody, he's not going to be like, they have great wings. That's not the next sentence. That's not what's on his mind.
No.
Okay. So
well, and it was really late in the night, so they weren't even open. But he was like, "Well, I have keys because I work here, so we can go and have the place all to ourselves."
Oh no. Okay.
Which is genius. And then, it doesn't go as bad as it could have. I'll say that out of the gate, so that there's take away some of that concern, because that's a really terrible situation. I realize.
Yeah.
It wasn't great though. I mean, he wanted us to go up on stage and strip for him, and we were like, "No, we're not going to do that." My friend told him to go on stage. She's like, "You go first." And then he took off his pants and threw them, and she went and grabbed his keys out of his pants. And we ran out, and he chased us around. I remember at one point I had the keys in my bra, and I was like, we were up on the stage at some point. I was running behind all these curtains, and he was like right behind me. And I think I came on out a door or something like that. Again, the memories are really hard because I can't picture them. But, yeah, I remember there's something about being behind the stage, and then I just remember we like hopped in his car. My friend drove us to the hotel.
Like you stole his
car?
She was
like 14, so she didn't have her license. Yeah. Yeah. So we took his car. We went back to the hotel room.
This is nuts.
I know.
So you went back to the hotel room, and then does he show up and bang on the door?
The next thing I remember, this makes it sound like worse things happened, and I don't think they did, but I remember waking up and he was standing in the room because he rented the room, so they gave him a key. I'm sure he went to the front desk and said he lost his key, and so they gave it to him.
Yeah, not the best strategy. We have to hide from this guy. Let's hide in the hotel room that he absolutely has the key to. Not the best strategy.
Right. No, we were stupid. I will reiterate, we were very stupid children. But yeah, so I just remember he wouldn't leave. My friend was trying to tell him to leave, and I just like shot up out of bed and I screamed at him, and I was like, "Get the fuck out of our hotel room right now. I'm gonna call the cops." And at some point he left, and then the next day was when we got caught, because he called the cops on us. And
yeah, I mean, that's
we hopped on a bus, and the cops pulled over the bus, and then they came on and we're like, "Hey, you runaways."
Thank God they got you. Because it's all, I mean, first of all, horrifying, truly horrifying story, truly horrifying, tense, a nightmare for anyone who cares about the well-being of children. But also, I would have to imagine, you running away with your condition, things could really tumble downhill, where if you, because if someone says to you, "Hey, where do you live? What's your house look like?" You probably can't tell them. You're an even more at risk. I mean, you can say, "Here's the address."
I don't know. I mean, yeah. And I could say, like, it's a big brown house, and there's brick stairs in the front, and there's like a hill on the side with a bunch of trees. But there's things that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it. I can't tell you like the little details, but like the big things I would be able to talk about. But,
right. The big things that
it's definitely not smart.
Right. The things you see all the time. Like my front lawn as a kid had a bush on it that was kind of low to the ground and long, and it separated my property from the next door property. We used to jump over that bush. So you could remember there's a bush that I jump over. You just couldn't see the bush.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Can I say something here? Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You're happy about the destigmatizing of me working to destigmatize mental health. Are you seeing a mental health professional yourself?
Yes. I will tell you, I saw a really good therapist for a good, like, most of this year. It was after my brother died, and I went to her for grief counseling. And she was amazing. She pulled me out of this, like, I was stuck in an anger phase that I just could not, I didn't even realize I was in. Almost destroyed my relationship. It was horrible. I was a horrible person. And I started seeing her, and she opened my eyes and made me realize, like, "Hey, you're being a giant twat waffle right now, so let's not do that."
Twat waffle. We just found out about the phrase twat waffle here on the show. Twat waffle. Wow. Sorry to jump in on that.
That's what I felt like I was. I mean,
I wonder if she learned that in medical school. Or I like imagining a doctor actually saying that to your head and to your face. You're being a twat wobble. I'm glad you're seeing your mental health.
You're being a twat wobble.
Because I'll say, because from my end, I mean, you're describing some stuff. It sounds traumatic. Stuff with your dad, with your mom.
Yeah.
You ran away. Brother passed away. You said a bunch of times your childhood wasn't easy, and it's funny. It's almost weird to come full circle on this because you asked me to visualize something, and I'm now going to describe something that you can't totally lock into. But you know, here's the thing, and I'm not trying to make any assumptions, but what it feels like, I have the same feeling right now of like if you walk through the woods, and you just see like a bloody shirt on the ground. Sometimes you're in the woods, you just see something where you're like, something happened here. Like something happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And just like talking to you about your brain kind of gives me the same feeling of like what caused this? Because you're describing lots of trauma and you're saying you can't access your memories in a way that most brains can. And it's just, it makes me feel both fascinated, but I won't lie, slightly unsettled.
Yeah.
I wonder if you ever had
that feeling.
Yeah.
I've definitely considered that. I mean, and my therapist told me, you know, like I did live through things that are traumatic. I don't know. And maybe it is just my brain just shut that off. I wish I knew. You know, I like to know things, even if it's painful. I want to know things. I like the truth. If it's hard, I don't care. I can handle it. I'm tough. Like I just want to know the facts. So I would love to know if there was something that caused it, but
yeah. And I'm not trying to put that, I'm not trying to just like insist that that's true or make any assumptions. I can just tell you about my gut reactions. It's like, wow, that wild Bill story alone lets me know that your childhood went in some directions. You've indicated a few times more. Yeah. We have 4 minutes, so I can't hear about all of it. But it's hard not to make that logic leap. But maybe it's not. Maybe you're just born with it. Who knows?
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's what?
You said maybe you were born with it, and I said maybe it's Maybelline. See, look, I failed on the joke too.
No, I got the joke. It's a popular advertising slogan. And it did make me giggle. As I said what, I was like, I think that was a Maybelline joke. I realized I caught up to it a second later.
Yep.
Wow.
Got
3 minutes left. We got 3 minutes left. What else does the world need to know?
I want to tell you a funny story. I don't know if they tell you that I was actually a voicemail call?
They did, but I don't mention it because sometimes people are like, I don't like the voicemail calls, but for 57 minutes, you've been liking it. So now we can reveal it's a voicemail call.
That's kind of why I didn't want to do it at first, because I know people get, you know, cranky about that stuff. But, you know, they told me that you weren't going to know anything about what I had to say,
no.
Or even just that it was a voicemail call. And they told me that I could admit that because, crazy story. So I left that voicemail like 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
I totally thought that wasn't going to go anywhere, which is fine because I don't often get to call in and try to get in because I'm at work all the time. But anyways, so I got the email at 10:30 in the morning that, you know, they wanted to have you call me.
Yeah.
And of course, I like flipped out like I was going crazy.
I'm going to talk to Chris motherfucking Gethard.
And Chris motherfucking Gethard.
Yeah.
So about 14 hours later at 1:00 in the morning that night, my best friend starts spamming my phone with YouTube links to the Chris Gethard show.
Wow.
And ranting about which episodes that I have to watch.
Did your friend know that you were a fan?
He had never heard of you before.
Wow.
No, he'd never heard of you. I'd never mentioned the podcast. Like, your podcast is the only podcast I listen to because all the other ones are tough for me to really focus on because of my issues. But yours is just like conversational. I feel like I'm just having a chat with somebody. So, you know, I've always been able to listen to your podcast.
Right.
And so,
So,
I never mentioned it to him or anything.
So, ones where people play characters, you're like, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, okay, I can't really, like, especially if it's one person playing multiple characters.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't handle
wow.
it.
So your friend found the Gether show and spread word. Just randomly found and spread. That's the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard.
Show.
Holy shit. Someone actually found it and liked it.
14 hours after I got that email.
Wow.
He loved it, dude. He was like, I haven't laughed this hard at this kind of comedy in so long, is what he said.
Holy
shit. And he's
shit.
A picky guy. He does not like things arbitrarily.
Please thank him for me. Maybe I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage after next year, after all. Who knows?
Yay.
Listen, we got 30 seconds left. Thanks for telling me that one. That's rad. That's rad. Someone actually found it and liked it.
Yeah.
Usually I only hear from the people who don't.
Told me about it. Told me about you, who I already love.
Nice. And then you're like,
I find out I'm going to be on your podcast.
So then you're like, you got to get up on this podcast shit. And then they all link together.
Right.
Hence a career.
Exactly.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much for calling me. What a fascinating thing to hear about. Sincerely.
Good. I'm glad. I can't believe I got to talk to you. It's just like I've been on cloud nine and all jittery with excitement. So it's been amazing talking to you.
Well, it was a real pleasure on my end, too.
And then real quick, if I have the second, too, you mentioned that your wife leaves the cabinet doors open and it drives you insane. Oh, my God, me too. I want to slap my boyfriend in the face every time he does it.
Thanks again to our caller. Caller, you were so open and so pleasant and so nice, and thank you for that. And you know, I gave some opinions that you could have that I hope didn't offend you. And you let me ask some questions that were prying, and I really hope I didn't ever cross a line. You said that was impossible, and I hope that's true because it was fascinating, progressively more and more fascinating the more I thought about how much this must affect your life. Thanks for filling us all in. Crazy thing. And thanks to Jared O'Connell, Harry Nelson in the booth. Gotta give credit. One of those guys fed me that joke about you like the movies better than the books. Who was that? It was Harry Nelson. Typed that one up on the screen. Made me chuckle. Asked it. Pulling back the curtain. Let you know, not all the jokes are funny. Once in a blue moon. Anyway, thanks to John Delore. Thanks to Greta Cohn. Thanks to Shell Shag for the music. Want to know more about me? Touring dates. Might have some touring dates out there. ChrisGeth.com. Check them out. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast if you like it. It really does help if you do that on Apple Podcasts. Anyway, that's all the business. I'll see you next time. Holiday season is here, and Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. I love Sock Club. Remind your loved ones that you care each month with quality American-made socks. Socks are sent straight to their door, featuring different designs and a personal note every month. Can be customized before each shipment. I open up this thing. I love the designs. They're always unique. I put them right on my feet. Next day, I'm wearing the Sock Club socks. Gotta try them out. Quality socks. Go to sockclub.com/beautiful. Get 15% off using discount code beautiful at checkout. That's sockclub.com/beautiful. Give a little reminder of your love every month. Give Sock Club. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, I don't even know what to say. Hi. Are you the
anybody there?
Yeah, are you the Bushman I've been hearing about?
Oh, don't say your name.
Well, yeah, I'm just a Tasmanian, yeah.
You're just a Tasmanian?
Yeah.
And you like to live off the land?
Yeah, fair bit, eh? I like the bush.
Yeah.
It makes me happy, you know?
Yeah. What is it that's made you want to shun human society and embrace the bush?
Well, I don't shun human society, Cobbo. I just find I'm more happy out in the scrubs. You know? Mother's always out there looking after you. Yeah, you know, always feeding you. I don't drink out there. I don't smoke out there. You know, everything's all good. It's just around people sometimes I find it's a bit hard. When you're around people all the time, you get all people's, differences of opinions, you know? Maybe the best way to say it.
Yeah.
People are pretty angry, you know?
People can bring out the stress.
They need a lot of work to keep them happy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
Hello, people of Earth. This is Paul Scheer, one of the co-hosts of How Did This Get Made, to celebrate the release of James Franco's newest film, The Disaster Artist, which we're all in. We just released a very special extended version of How Did This Get Made's original episode about The Room with one of the stars, Greg Sestero. Listen to us talk about Tommy Wiseau's terrible masterpiece and then stick around for new interviews with James Franco and Tommy himself. Take a listen.
What you're getting at, like, Tommy could have just been a caricature. This story could have just been a ridiculous spoof. I was talking to Mantzoukas last night at our premiere party, and he's like, this is like the American dream with a guy that refuses, you know, to admit that he's not American. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's just a taste. You can download the whole new Room episode of How Did This Get Made wherever you listen to your podcast. Do it.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.